This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is your Sunday Arrow video assortment series of reviews, the 32nd installment in this series. I'm your host Duncan McLeish, welcome to the show. Up on this episode we are looking at Buckaroo Banzai. That's right, I was supposed to do it last week but I ended up doing the Django release from Arrow, which came in as a screener. So we're finally getting to the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai across the 8th dimension. This is now sadly out of print from Arrow, so you have to buy this essentially wherever shops still have copies of it. But yeah, I hadn't realised. I wondered why I couldn't find it on the website anymore, and it looks like it may have went out of print. So there we go. So we'll be doing a review of that after the first break. As always, let's catch up. This is the end of the week. We made it. We fucking made it. Thank Christ. And yeah, it's just going to be busy for the next couple of months. So there ain't no way to get around this. So you might as well strap yourselves in and enjoy. Next week is Chaka, and it starts off tomorrow with the next installment of our I Know What You Did Last Summer Russian Roulette franchise retro. We'll be looking at I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, and it'll be featuring The Witch, a very fun review indeed. Expect a lot of talk about how bad Jack Black is. Yeah, that's a thing, and it'll be coming tomorrow, so keep your eyes peeled for it. So yeah, that is how the week starts off, but by the time we reach Thursday, there'll be a bonus episode, and then Saturday there will be a review of a screener and no episode on Sunday, so I will be able to take a little break and put my feet up, which I'm very much looking forward to because at the moment I'm recording a ton of content for summer series that is fucking full steam ahead at the moment. On the Teapots Collective dropping tonight, the night of this recording, the delayed by almost a week Where to Begin With episode finally drops, and within the next 2 weeks, although slightly later than planned because of the aforementioned summer series, you'll be getting the next installment of Opera Omnia. We'll be looking at Zodiac, that's myself and Bo Ramsdell, and you'll be getting the next installment of Doing the Nasty with myself and Mark Ball. In the immediate future, you will be getting a review of In the Earth as part of Opera Omnia Season 1, the kind of redux, as myself and the phenomenal Mr. Watson finally get around to that weekly movie, which has just been released in the UK. So that is your lineup. It's pretty good, isn't it? Jaws is Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts sadly did not record last week due to many conflicting schedules, and it will be happening, ladies and gents, this coming week, which means this coming Friday you'll get the next installment of that. Couldn't be any easier than that, ladies and gents. I've set it up for you, I've pushed it out, and now we will see how it goes. Let's do this, shall we? I'm going to take a short break just now. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear the trailer for The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the 8th Dimension. When I return, I'll be discussing that movie right after this.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And while Witch didn't make it to the top of the world, he did make the Gangs of Hollywood podcast. So join the gang and enjoy a movie review podcast about movie gangs, gangsters, mobsters, and the mayhem they cause. You can find GOH Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at GOH Pod at www.gohpod.com. as well as your favorite podcast listening app. And remember, say hello to your little friend, for me.
He's a rocker. Doctor.
Don't tug on that. You never know what it might be attached to.
Inventor.
Activate oscillator.
Up on the sound barrier.
Philosopher.
No matter where you go, there you are.
And the only hero.
Buckaroo.
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 Curse are you, Bonsai.
Who can save us all.
Evil. You are invisible from the eighth dimension. Venom.
Launch thermal pod.
Buckaroo Bonsai is pure nutty fun.
Buckaroo, you forgot your thruster.
Why don't you hold on to him for a while?
The cult sci-fi classic.
Run, run!
In a dimension all its own.
Real-life Martians landing in New Jersey.
Torito, torito.
We will fire a portable beam weapon.
Vaporize the whole damn planet.
If we blow this today,
get him up.
There ain't no tomorrow.
Left, I said left.
This is left.
I mean my left. All left, go your right.
Buckaroo, the president's calling about, is everything okay with the alien space cloud from Planet 10, or should we just go ahead and destroy Russia?
Tell him yes on one and no on two.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Which was yes, to destroy Russia or number two?
And welcome back, ladies and gents. So you've just heard the trailer for The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. This, like I say, doesn't look like it's available from Arrow anymore, but there are plenty of copies out there on the interwebs if you want to check out. Basically, you can pick up a reasonable copy on eBay without too much hassle and for not that much money. So that's something to keep in mind. The details are taken from the internet because, like I say, it's no longer listed up there, but it says your only hope is Buckaroo Banzai. From the writer of Invasion of the Body Snatchers and Big Trouble in Little China comes a pop sci-fi adventure that defies convention and went on to become one of the cult hits of the 80s. Peter Weller is Buckaroo Banzai, a physicist, neurosurgeon, martial arts, master secret agent, rock star who's just made history with his invention. The Oscillation Overthruster. The Overthruster allows him to travel to the 8th dimension, but this feat draws the attention of the Red Lectroids, an alien race led by Christopher Lloyd, who have teamed up with Banzai's nemesis, the deranged Dr. Lizardo, played by John Lithgow. Lizardo and the Red Lectroids are seeking the Overthruster to take over the world, and Banzai, with his team of agents slash band musicians, the Hong Kong Cavaliers, must stop them before it's too late. With strong references to sci-fi and pop culture that span Thomas Pynchon's and Orson Welles, Buckaroo Banzai is a film made by fans for fans and counts filmmakers including Wes Anderson and Kevin Smith amongst its admirers. The contents on the disc are a high-definition digital transfer of the film from the original elements by MGM, a 5.1 DTS HD master audio and 2.0 stereo, optional English subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing, an audio commentary by writer-director W.D. Richter and Reno writer Errol MacRunch. The Towel of Buckaroo, a brand new interview with Peter Weller on his role as Buckaroo Banzai. Lord John, a brand new interview with John Lithgow, who discussed working on the film. A Lincoln Center Q&A featuring Peter Weller and John Lithgow, moderated by filmmaker and Buckaroo fan Kevin Smith, filmed as part of the 2011 New York Film Festival. Buckaroo Banzai Declassified, an original featurette on the making of the film featuring W.D. Richter, stars Peter Weller, Ellen Barkin, John Lithgow and more. Adventures in the Eighth Dimension, a visual essay by critic and author Matt Zoller-Seitz. Alternate Open featuring Jamie Lee Curtis, presented in isolation as part of the extended feature. Closing sequence presented without credits. Deleted scenes featuring 14 scenes from the work print. A new jet car trailer and teaser trailer. Easter egg, gallery, Banzai radio, and reversible sleeve featuring newly commissioned artwork by Matthew Griffin and the original, and a booklet featuring new writing on the film by critic James Oliver, illustrated with original stills. So yeah, this is a movie that I know really well, as in I've seen it God knows how many times, and what I love about it is every year that goes past, the cult of Banzai grows a little bit bigger, And it's one of those movies. There are certain movies that exist in these little bubbles of, this movie clearly had a big studio behind it, clearly had a lot of money behind it, yet I don't know what they thought the outcome was going to be, because it was always destined to be a movie that was going to be on the fringe or a cult sort of movie. Movies that you would tend to associate with the 80s work of someone like Terry Gilliam. I think of movies like Time Bandits, where, you know, I look at that and I'm like, that, how did anyone ever think this was going to be a kids' classic? Ultimately it was, and that's how I found it, but at the time, it just feels too dark and too surreal. Movies like Big Trouble in Little China, which, I mean, one of my favourite movies ever made, but once again, when you're watching it, you're thinking to yourself, how did any studio ever think this was going to be a huge financial success? It seems almost made specifically for cult fans. I think of things like Howard the Duck, more recently Scott Pilgrim. You know, these movies feel like they get the push, but the studio doesn't necessarily know what they're doing with it. They're marketed wrong or poorly, to say the least, and as a result, critical feedback tends to be pretty poor, commercial feedback is lackluster, and as a result they're consigned to the bin, seen as being a failure, but over time they will out through, you know, word of mouth and a fan base of people that find it, and that's the world that Buckaroo Banzai kind of fits in. I, like I say, I've seen it many, many times. The thing that baffles me the most about this is the cast. The cast in this movie is absolutely fucking mind-blowing. For the 80s, not only do you have Peter Weller, like, in the vicinity of RoboCop, you have Christopher Lloyd in the vicinity of the Back to the Future trilogy, you have John Lithgow, who has been doing tons of stuff with people like De Palma, but is, you know, is a bankable name, who will soon reinvent himself as less the villain and more the lovable kind of roguish neighbour, and you know, and like his roles like Harry and the Hendersons and stuff. To see all this come together with arguably one of the most batshit plots ever, over the top special effects, which have not aged particularly well, that are kind of amazing, where it feels like all the money in the world was spent on not only like set designs and you know, the cast clothing. The fashion budget must have been through the roof. A soundtrack which is zany and bonkers. But at its core, a movie that's just fun. It's absurd and it's fun and it's loud and it's colourful and it's brash. And it is 100% confident of all the lunatic steps it takes. I think that's what serves it. There doesn't feel like there's any doubt in this movie at all that we know what the vision is, we know it's nuts, we know it doesn't always make sense, and it's, you know, it will come together at the end. There are massive plot holes that you can fly a spacecraft through, but we're confident that it's entertaining. And this movie is, on many, many levels, a very, very, very entertaining movie. It, in my opinion, feels a bit long. I've always been that opinion. There's bits where I'm like that. You know, if it was just maybe 15 minutes shorter, I would feel we'd wrap it up. Or I kind of feel like we tread water a little bit in places. This feels like it should be about an hour and a half tops, in and out with credits. And you know, it doesn't always. You know, I mean, I'm the minority on that. I know a lot of people are like, I wish there was more, and I do. I feel this is a franchisable character, that this could have spun off to do another couple of sequels comfortably, and it would have been great. And that lies in the fact that Peter Weller is a fucking great actor. I think we forget that. I think it's easy to forget that, and you know, he'll always be pigeonholed as RoboCop, sadly. But if you ever get a chance to watch his performance in Naked Lunch, the Cronenberg movie from 1991? You will see that he has chops. Like, he's an incredible actor who gives great performances, and he's having so much fun in this role. So much fun. But you have like a double hit of two of the best sci-fi villain performances, out with like Ming the Merciless, and Christopher Lloyd here, who is absolutely brilliant as the leader of the Red Lectoroids. And you know, Dr. Lizardo, to me, he's like one of my favourite villains, that John Lithgow plays. Yeah, I think he's absolutely brilliant at it. So you bring all those things together, and I think that's what sells it. Like, the credence that these actors are giving over-the-top performances to absurd roles, but selling it. Like, actually selling it, that you should be scared of these villains. And Peter Weller, you should be putting trust in his character. Buckaroo Banzai will out. You just need to give him the chance. And that's what makes it work. You know, that's what makes it work. It's certainly not a movie for everyone. I fully expect that if you don't have a tolerance for bullshit, then this movie is not going to be your thing at all. It's going to be too over the top, too loud, too noisy, too brash, too nuts. However, if you enjoy movies where it is giving you everything, everything you can possibly get, then this is that sort of movie. They don't make movies like this anymore. Well, they do. They do make movies that try and build their own universes and try and build, but they don't make them as fun as this. And that's the interesting part. When I see movies now that are being pitched as the next big cult classic, they're not as fun as this movie. And that's where we lose out. Cult is not only about, you know, finding a performance which drives a movie through, but I think cult are the movies that entertain you beyond, like, where you're like, that, right, it's cheap, it's schlocky, it doesn't make any sense, but by God, is it fun. Like, one of my favourite movies ever made is Pieces, as you know from listening to this podcast. Pieces is a terribly made movie. Like, across the board, it should be shown to film students how not to make a movie. Is that bad? But by God, is it entertaining. And as such, the entertainment value overshines all its flaws and its mistakes. So I'll rave about it as much as I do. Buckaroo Banzai is in that realm. So, with that in mind, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension gets a 4 out of 5 from me. If you've never seen it before, and anything I have mentioned has piqued your interest, you will have a fucking ball watching this movie. But that caveat is, if you ain't got time for nonsense and bullshit, it's a hard pass. Don't watch it. I'm going to take my final break. When I come back, I will be revealing what the next title is in the Arrow video assortment that we'll be looking in 3 weeks' time to, as well as closing out the show right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
You've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been your Sunday Arrow video assortment series of reviews, the 32nd installment looking at The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. In 3 weeks' time, we'll be turning our attention to a little bit of a Western. Very excited that this one came out of the pick, because I've owned it for years and it's still in its seal. So we'll be breaking that out to get it watched. It is, of course, Cemetery Without Crosses. On the Arrow website, it says thus: you believe in revenge, but I don't. It never ends. Inspired by the international success of the Dollars trilogy and dedicated to director Sergio Leone, Cemetery Without Crosses offers a giallic spin on the spaghetti western formula thanks to its star and creator Robert Hossam, best known to English-speaking audiences for his role in Joe Dassin's Riffiffy. After her husband is lynched by bandits, Michelle Mercer, of Mario Bava's Black Sabbath, seeks revenge and turns to an old friend, played by Hossam, for help. A solitary figure who lives in a ghost town and dons a single black glove before each ghost fight. He is initially reluctant, but soon infiltrates the widow's enemies to force a showdown. Cemetery Without Crosses is a darker breed of western, bleak and melancholic in tone amid its explosive set pieces, and boasts an outstanding score by composer Andre Hossam, father of Robert, and the catchiest of themes, sung by cult figure Scott Walker. Details on the disc are: production year of 1969, this is region unlocked, the rating is a 12A, the runtime is an hour and a half, the number of discs in the set are 2, the language is both Italian and English, subtitles are English SDH, audio is 1.0 PCM, aspect ratio is 166:1, and it is in full colour. Cast and crew details are director Robert Hossein, cast Michelle Mercer, Robert Hossein, and Guido Lollobrigida. And the extras on the discs are a brand new 2K restoration of the film from the original film Elements, high definition standard Blu-ray, 1080p, and standard definition DVD presentations, original English and Italian soundtracks, and uncompressed PCM mono audio, newly translated English subtitles for the Italian soundtrack, optional English subtitles for the deaf or hard of hearing for the English soundtrack, Remembering Sergio, an all-new interview with star and director Robert Hossein, filmed exclusively for the release, French TV news reports on the film's making, containing interviews with director and actor Michelle Mercer and Sergi Marquard, archive interview with the director, original theatrical trailer and reversible sleeve featuring original and newly commissioned artwork. So in 3 weeks' time, ladies and gents, we will be getting down with a little bit of Cemetery Without Crosses. Very much looking forward to that. There is a multitude of ways that you can check out Podcasts Under the Stairs. Wherever you're listening to us right now, hit subscribe. That way you get the shows as and when they drop and access to the entire back catalogue of Teapot's content. Subscribe to the Teapot's collective feed and you get shows like Where to Begin With, Opera Omnia, Doing the Nasty and Chronicle. Visit our website, it's teapotscast.com, where links to all the shows exist, as well as a link to Jaws' Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts, the Boozebees Banter podcast, featuring myself, The Baz, and Scott and Liam from Scott and Liam vs. Evil. We get drunk, we talk about regrettable life choices, of which there seems to be an endless supply. We read your funny stories out on air, as well as read weird news stories from around the globe. Jaws is Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts is exclusively available through the feed listed on teapotscast.com. You can support the show by buying merch by going to teapotscast.bigcartel.com, and you can see us on Facebook. You can see us, come across, spend a bit of time chatting. facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. If you want to interact on the Facebook page for the Teapots Collective, facebook.com/teapotscast. And if you want to get down and dirty with Joss's Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts, it's facebook.com/groups/regrettablepod. You can interact with myself and the Baz on the twin prongs of social media sexiness. Instagram and Twitter both can be followed at teapotscast. The podcast Under the Stairs will return for you tomorrow with I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Featuring The Witch is the second of a three-part series, a Russian roulette franchise retrospective, if you will, looking at that, interesting franchise. The episode will drop tomorrow for you. So until then, wherever you are, what the time zone is, and what you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. That's Duncan McLeish, broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.